Good afternoon. This is Max Fickerson of Morgans here with Steve Promnitz, the Managing Director of Lake Resources. Steve, can you tell us a little bit about what's happening with Lake? I understand that you're working on a pilot project at Cachi in Argentina to extract lithium. Can you tell us a bit more about the project?
Yeah, certainly. So Lake Resources has a different focus in the lithium space. I'm sure many of your viewers understand that the growth potential for lithium and other battery materials is exceptional over the next 10 years. But not all lithium is created equal. In our case, we have large projects in Argentina, but we've gone a different path using direct lithium extraction. Now, direct lithium extraction involves ion exchange. Ion exchange is a very well-known water treatment process. It's been around for more than 70 years. You may even have it at home. In my kitchen, I've got a little tap, and the canister underneath uses ion exchange. So our partner, Lilac Solutions out of California, they've adapted that ion exchange process for taking out lithium. So how does that work? What it means is that when you pump this salty water out from underneath an arid salt lake, instead of putting in an evaporation pond, you put in a tank with these ion exchange beads in it. The ion exchange beads bond onto the lithium in the space of 2 hours. You take 80-95% of the lithium out, and so you can return that back to its source. The benefit of that is you produce a very high quality product, and you do it with a real ESG benefit. Much smaller physical footprint, much lower water usage, a low CO2 footprint. They're the things that the EV makers are looking for. But like any new technology, the proof is in the pudding. So we did 15 months of benchtop work. We've been running a pilot modules in California for more than a year. And at the end of this calendar year, we aim to have a demonstration plant on site at our Cachi project in Argentina. Now, it would be there now, but you might remember we've got this global pandemic on. So it's easy enough to get the equipment there. Slowly, the technicians are getting vaccinated in California. So we're aiming for the last quarter this year to have all that ready on site. We have a partnership with Lilac. It's long term. It's for the entire length of the planned production at Cachi. And so we're going to be pretty much joined at the hip on this process. And they're great operators. They're actually running some pilot plants in the western US at the moment. One is on a brine project, one is on a geothermal project. So we wish them well in the US because it then helps us. In other news, we're quite advanced on the debt financing side. This has got a capex of about $540 million. Now that might sound daunting for a company small like us. We're only 350, 380 million market cap, but the export credit agencies we're talking to have indicated they would supply about 70% of that debt. Let's say in round terms, 400 million of the 540 million. They'll do that over a 10-year debt profile at low interest rates. So it becomes now quite a financially compelling project. This is going to be throwing off 250, 260 million US EBITDA a year on a capex of 540. So that's more like a gold mine rather than an industrial mineral producer. So look, at the end of the day, we know that lithium's up, and I suspect any of the advanced lithium projects are probably going to get financed and go into production, because we do need 10 times more production in 10 years' time than we had last year. But the difference here is we're going to be producing a high purity product, which means a very healthy margin, and we're going to be doing that with an ESG benefit. And you might have seen in the news just the last few days, the EU wants to get rid of all petrol and all diesel engines in Europe by 2035. That's the trend of the world, and we just happen to be right place, right time.
Sounds fantastic. So can you tell me a little bit about the difference between, for people new to the space, how does your process compare in terms of, you mentioned, the energy use? Can you maybe quantify for us what the difference might be in, say, tons of lithium versus, you know, tons of CO2 equivalent between hard rock and lake?
So at the moment, lithium really comes from two main sources. One of them is hard rock, and most of that's produced in WA. So you dig a hole in the ground, just as if it was copper or gold. There you take out this grey white rock called spodumene. You concentrate it to about 6% lithium dioxide, and it predominantly gets shipped off to East China to be then roasted at about 950 degrees centigrade and converted into lithium hydroxide. So you don't produce an end product. It's essentially an intermediate product. And then the energy use to convert that, in East China, they're predominantly using dirty coal. So the footprint of that in kilos per CO2 equivalent per kilo of product is somewhere between 14 and 19 kilos. The other half of the lithium gets produced from brines, and that carbon footprint is about 4 or 5 kilos CO2 per kilo of lithium carbonate equivalent. And the reason for that is the traditional method of producing lithium from a brine is you pump it up, you put it in these ponds which are lined, the sun does its work, you evaporate the water, you concentrate all the salts, and then you separate the lithium from the other salts. Now that's fine and worked well. The problem is, in the last 5 years, battery technologies have just exploded. And so it needs a very high purity product. Nothing wrong with that lithium, but it has to get reprocessed. Whereas what we want to do is produce a high quality product so that margin is actually captured by the company and the shareholders. To give an example, you could be a brine evaporator at the moment. You might be making $1,500 or $3,500, maybe $4,000 a tonne. If we were producing today, we'd be making $8,000 to $10,000 a tonne margin. So that makes it very financially robust as well as having an ESG outcome.
Fantastic. Sounds great. Well, what should we look out for in the next year? What are the key catalysts for the company?
This is a very busy 15 months coming up. And we'll break it down like this. In the next 2 to 3 months, we will probably come out and announce probably 2 of the export credit agencies and their panel of banks that we'll then bring inside the tent and they'll work with us. And the reason for that is that we're doing a definitive feasibility study. We aim to have that finished Q1 next year. And then if they work with us, they can see that process as well as our environmental social impact assessment, anything else they need, so they're ready to finance soon after that's delivered. Another thing we'll probably come out with is at least one of the offtake partners that we're talking to. You heard me mention electric vehicle makers, the one that ESG benefit. Ones out of the US are looking for non-China sourced product, and a lot of the battery makers are now realizing there's a major squeeze going on. So we want to announce at least one of our partners, which is Tier 1, because that helps with the financing of the project, and also having a robust partner also helps investors know that this is solid. Towards the end of this calendar year, we'll have the demonstration plant on site. That helps equity and debt investors because they can see it and touch it. And then as we cycle into the new year, there'll probably be a US uplisting, and that increases our access to US and EU-based funds, and then moving into construction finance mid-late next year, and announcements about getting this underway for production in first half 2024.
Fantastic. Sounds very exciting, Steve.
All right. Thanks so much, Max.
Thank you.
Pleasure.